Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla la wa man yudlil fala hadiya la. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh sallallahu ta'ala 'alayhi wa 'ala alihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman katsiran katsira. Amma ba'du. Faqad qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kun fid dunya ka annaka gharib aw abirus sabil. Respected brothers and sisters, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam once narrated this hadith, and this hadith was narrated to Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, who was born in Islam and grew up in Islam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an was very famous for his knowledge, very famous for his ibadah and the zikrullah that he is always accustomed to be in. Very, very famous as a young boy growing up. And yet still the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam caught hold of his hand one day. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam caught hold of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Now, this is not an advice that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving to any and anyone. He is speaking to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and by extension to all of us. But he chose Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an as the person to whom to give this advice. Caught hold of his hand in order to attract his attention fully. Caught hold of his hand. This is a person who is in ibadah all the time, well known for his knowledge and the implementation of his knowledge. Always in the remembrance of Allah, born at a time when Islam was at its was growing and was at its peak, would have reached its peak in his days. And the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam caught hold of his hand and he said, Abdullah, live in this world as though you are a stranger to it. You are a stranger to it, or you're just a traveler, passerby. Your existence in this world must not be so attached to the material things that you get caught up with it. And that is one of the downside of the material things that we have around us, my dear brothers and sisters. The material things that are around us was created for our benefit. Everything that we see around us, Allah Azawajal created it for our benefit. He created it for our benefit. But sometimes the human being, in the majority of cases, we get so caught up with trying to achieve the aspirations that we have to get to acquire the material and the physical things around us. Everyone wants a nice spread of property. Everyone wants a beautiful vehicle. Everyone wants a beautiful spouse. Right? We want plenty of children. We want, if we could have acreage of land that we could see good farming and cows and cattle and all of that, horses and all of that around us. We love, the human being love to see that. Right? When we could open our bank books and we could look at the balance that we have, our investment portfolios that we have here, there and everywhere. The human being loves that. Right? It brings satisfaction to us. Right? If Allah Zawajal, there were people. Everyone is not blessed with the same amount of wealth. Different people have different amounts of wealth that Allah has blessed them with. There are some people with more, there are some people with less. There are some people who are working very hard and yet still they have less. And there are some people who have a lot of free time and Allah has given them a lot. And yet still you see them around the place and you know as though they are not working full time. They work 1 or 2 hours. And alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed them with a lot of wealth. Right? We have so much stories in the time of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, for example. he was one of those companions that he said that, I feel if I turn over any rock, I will find money underneath it. So much did Allah Azza wa Jal bless him with wealth. But yet still, the purpose was not acquisition. He did not spend all his time in the acquisition of wealth. When he moved, when he migrated the hijrah from Makkah to Medina, and he came to Medina, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had formed brothership between a migrator, someone who migrated, an immigrant who came from Makkah, and with somebody from Medina. He formed a bond, a relationship between them, so they could help out one another. The people in Medina were a little more settled. They had property, they had their business going, whatever trade, farming they had going. So these people who came, the migrants who came from Medina, the muhajir, when they came, they didn't have anything because they couldn't walk with anything when they were migrating. It had to be done secretly because they were running away from the kuffar, from the Quraysh. So when they came to Medina, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam formed this bond. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, when he formed this bond with his Madani brother, he said that, well, look, I have a few wives. If you want, I could divorce one of them. You could get married to them, right? Whatever business I have, you could take a portion of the business and you could start your own business and go. Abdurrahman ibn Auf says, no, I don't need all that. Just show me where the market is. Show me where the market is. And at the end of the day, Abdurrahman going to the market with nothing. And at the end of the day, he came back with a profit. At the end of the day, he came back with a profit. Took something on loan, borrowed something, resell, carried a little back. Because many of the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't have to have wealth with them. They didn't have that attachment to the world. So they weren't looking to amass wealth. So what they understood, and their trust and their confidence was on Allah. They make a little effort. They didn't sit on home or say, we're sitting on in the masjid and we're not doing anything, you know. No, they went out to the marketplace. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a sermon, a lecture he called. There were a group of people that came to Medina. Very, very poor people. Hardly had any clothing. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam called his companions. He summoned them together. He called them and he gave them a lecture on spending. He gave them a lecture about spending and feeding the poor and clothing the poor and all that kind of thing. Right? The companions of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was there with him living in Medina, they had nothing. They wanted to give because the Rasul is now speaking about the virtues are given. They had nothing. It is reported in the hadith that they said that we went to the marketplace and we did some laborious work. What work? We toted some bags and sticks and whatever. People wanted to move in the market and help people load their camels and whatever. They got some money, they took it and they bring it back to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not collectively they went and did this. Everybody on their own went out and they looked because they wanted to spend. They wanted to spend because the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the virtues of spending. So whatever little they had, whatever they went by, whatever little they could have, they would have gotten by their little efforts and that kind of thing, they would spend from it. It was this contentment that a person achieves. It is because of detachment from the world, you know. The contentment that a person gets is the more we detach ourselves from the physical things around us, the more contented the heart gets. The more we try to attach ourselves to these things, the more you would find that we want to work, and we want to work harder, and we want to work harder, and we want to hold on to two jobs and three jobs and all kind of thing. In order to do what? To build a bigger house, to expand the house. Right? This is what we are looking to do, to buy a new car. The car is working good and everything is good, so we get a little more money, we want to put fat tires. Right? We are looking to put just ordinary rims, now we want to put chrome rims. Right? We want to reupholster, we want to repaint. And we find so much uses for the extra little cash that we might get in our hands off and on. But did we ever think, as the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his companions, what are you putting aside for tomorrow when you would need it? For tomorrow when you would need it, tomorrow when we would need it, what we think about? Well, if I get sick a little later on, I need to have something in the bank, I need to have this policy, I need to have that investment, so I can have a little something, I have this thing hide away underneath my mattress, wherever. But we always thinking that, what about, and shaitan threatens us with that. Allah makes that very clear in the Quran. Shaitan threatens you with that. He comes and he puts in your mind all of these things that I'm saying. What about if this happened? What about if that happened? What about if you get a flood? Like what happened so many times in the country this year? What about so and so happen? What about if you lose your job? What about that? And we always concern about tomorrow, what is going. There's nothing wrong, a person puts aside a little bit of money. No, no problem in that. But Allah is the one who gives. Allah is the one who gives. Many a times we feel we put aside, and when time comes for it to use, it's not there. All the financial institutions and businesses in the world is crying. I ask the question. If everybody losing money and everybody going bankrupt, where the money gone? Where the money gone? AIG and this one and whoever we have, all the big companies in the world going bankrupt. So when we were banking, what is this money they were talking about? They lose no money, you know. All the physical assets, were they're still there. They probably overprice it and all of that, so really and truly they have no value now. Right? So all this bankruptcy that we are seeing in the world. And because of that, you know what is happening? The world wants to turn back to Islamic banking. Uncle Arman showed me an article this morning where France is seriously contemplating going to Islamic banking. And the Islamic banking that it had throughout the world, they said they were not affected. Why? Because the policies that the Sharia has in place doesn't affect them like that. Whether it is because of that reason or whether they're trying to attract some oil money from the East, whatever is the reason, but they're thinking about going to Islamic banking. Right? And everybody is looking towards Islamic banking. Right? And at the end of the day, we realize that what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the Sharia, what the deen has in place, even though sometimes temporarily we might feel that the Western system is like this, or this is beneficial and all, but at the end of the day, at the end of a period, you realize that these things weren't really beneficial. Right? As I said, they were just castles in the sky that were built, right, to make it look good, to make us feel that this is the way it is supposed to go. But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, success lies in the deen and the deen only. Remember that. As Muslims, remember that. Our success in this life and the next life lies only strictly in following the deen of Islam and in nothing else. When you look at the previous nations that went by and all that, when you look at the systems that the Western world and the democracy that we are trying to, that people are trying to create in our mind, that this is the way and this is how we are supposed to be living. When we look at the educational system and look and see what it is really doing, right? You realize, we look and we see 5% of the people, 10% of the people who come out of the educational system might be successful. What happens with the other 90% of the people? Where do they fit in? Right? Where do they fit in? Right, so we really need to look. We really need to look at our lives. Take a deep look at our lives. See where we are. What are we holding on to? What are we clinging to? Are we clinging to the material things of this world that is really taking us away from what we are supposed to be focused on? My dear brothers and sisters, it is a good time of the year, but a Muslim doesn't need to wait for the new year to come in to make a whole set of resolutions. Right? A Muslim doesn't wait for the beginning of the new year to make a set of rules for this year, I'm going to do this. We do not have to wait until we go and perform Hajj and we come back and say that, okay, look, from now on, I'm going to do this. You can do this anytime. Any time of the year you want to do it. And you should never delay in the doing of a good deed. Never ever delay in the doing of a good deed. Sometimes we take this opportunity to make, you know, to try to improve in our lives and all that kind of thing. And like the statistics would show, that many of the resolutions that we make, what happens with them? 1 month, 2 months, and after that everything falls flat. Right? So we as Muslims, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith, أَحَبَّ الْعَمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ, that the actions that are loved most by Allah azawajal are those that are performed with continuity, even though it might be a little bit. Even though it might be just a little bit of action that we are doing. Now this little bit of action that we are speaking about is after the faraid. After the faraid. Little things that we would put in our lives. The minimum we should be doing is those actions that are compulsory. We cannot say that, okay, look, I'm going to start off with praying one namaz for the day. No, that is not acceptable. A Muslim has to pray 5 times a day. Minimum. That is what is compulsory. We have to fast the month of Ramadan, minimum 1 month, compulsory. We have to pay 2.5% of our excess wealth yearly minimum. That is what is compulsory. We perform the Hajj once in a lifetime. If Allah gives us the means, minimum. Over and above that, every single action that we ought to be doing, start off a little bit. You're giving your 2.5%, learn to give a little more sadaqah. Because the bigger the sadaqah that you give is the bigger the share that you are going to have on the day of judgment. That share that is so necessary to shade us on the day when the sun is going to be one hand span over our heads and people will be sweating and perspiring according to the sins that they committed, that there will be those who will be perspiring up to their ankles, those who will be drowning in sweat up to their knees, those up to their waist, and those who will have been sweat up to their throats. On that day, my dear brothers, we will be looking for every little deed that we could get. Every little deed that we could get. Or that we are looking for anybody who we could blame for something that we didn't get or didn't do. So who we are looking for? We are looking for our father. You didn't send me to Islamic school. You didn't give me no Islamic training. You didn't send me maktab. They never had no teachings at home, no talim at home daily to tell me what is right and encourage me. So we're looking for our father. We're looking for our mother. We're looking for our brother. Right? We're looking for our husband and wife. We're looking to what? Blame somebody. Because we're good at that. So it is the same action. We're looking on the day of judgment. We're looking to blame somebody. So the Quran makes it very clear. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ. Everybody running away. Everybody running away from one another. You don't want to know no father, no brother, no mother, sister at this time. Now, right now it's nafsi, nafsi, every man for himself. Every man for himself. Right? So where is all this thing that we are working for, that we are working so hard for our children and our parents and the basic necessity of life? It is our responsibility. Let us fulfill that. Over and beyond that lesson, let us really take a deep look and see what we are doing. What are we really doing? Where are we spending our money? Where are we spending our time? There are two things that the human being is very, very neglectful about. Two things that the human being is very, very neglectful about. Spare time. The spare time that a person has and the good health that Allah has bestowed us with. Spare time and good health are two things that we are very, very neglectful about. We take it for granted. We take it for granted. And what happens when you look, the holidays are going by, the weekends are going by, we look and see, what are we really doing with our free time? So we sit down behind the television and we watch one movie and we watch our next movie and sometimes we watch a third movie and we want to see this and we want to see that, and 1 hour goes by and 2 hours goes by and 3 hours goes by, right? And we pass our time like that. We waste our time away like that. And as soon as you take up the Quran to read, after 15 minutes, you start to fall asleep. Right, 10-15 minutes time, you take up the Talim book or the Quran to read, and in 10-15 minutes time, you start to fall asleep. Right, because there's no interest. Right, there's no interest in it. It's something that you just fall asleep about. You take up the Tasbih and you fall asleep. One of the best Valium that it have, you know, sleeping tablets, to take up a book and read. Right, one of the best sleeping tablets it have. Right, you can't sleep and take up a book and see how fast you fall asleep. Right? So these are the things that we need to train. Why? We didn't train ourselves to enjoy these things. We didn't put in the practice. And we need to start. It's never too late. So long as gharghara didn't take place, so long as the ruh did not reach the trough, there is time for repentance. There is time for starting anything that we want to start. Anything that we want to begin. So long as the ruh did not reach the trough, there is still time. There is still time. And we need to start putting in little amals in our life, little things in our life. Spend a little time. One of the best books that they have, Maulana Zakaria wrote a small little book. This book that I'm holding here. Preliminary Practices. In it, there are about 12 to 15 practices that he has recommended that we should follow. You know, sometimes we're looking for a little guideline as to what to do. In this little book here, Corey Masood from Darul Uloom. If anybody is interested in getting a copy of it, you can get in contact with Corey Masood from Darul Uloom and he would make a copy available to you. Little practices that we need to start implementing in our lives daily. A little guideline that we should read Surah Yasin every morning. Right? Because it helps, removes any affliction and all that, helps with the punishment in the grievance. We need to read Surah Mulk every night. Right? Little guidelines that he would give us. Maybe we might be able to read Quran. Right? It tells us about the optional fast. Right? Small things that you could take this book and if over a period of 1 year we could implement in our lives the little guidance that Maulana Zakaria has given to his disciples and given to people in general. We take 1 year to implement this 10-page, 15-page book. If we take 1 year and we could accomplish this, my dear brothers and sisters, we would have accomplished a lot. But to hold on to them, to stick with them is difficult. And we keep faltering from time to time. That is why the book, in a little written form, every month I advise people to go through back the book. Go through back the book. Read it back through and see the things that we are supposed to be doing, the things that we are supposed to be implementing in our lives. As little as it may be, in the book might have guidelines that, okay, look, every person is supposed to be reading a juz of Quran daily. Every half is supposed to be reading 3 juz daily, most of it in Nafil Salah. But then if he cannot read 3 juz, then he could read so much and he could read so much and do a little less. So much so that if he has to take a half a juz and read it 5 times, and then the 6th time you read it in Salah. We cannot read a whole juz of Quran. Okay, well, dedicate 1 hour a day or half an hour a day to learn to read the Quran. Right? Dedicate that time. Make a schedule for ourselves. Do not try to be too harsh in making the schedule that we're going to get up at this time in the morning and pray so much rakats at tahajjud and do this and do the next and that kind of thing, and you start in such a way that after 1 week everything falls flat. Remember, my dear brothers and sisters, nothing less than the fara'id. What is compulsory is compulsory. There is no excuse for that. There is no explanation for that. What is compulsory, end of the story. What we are speaking about is what is over and beyond that, that we could put in. No Muslim sitting here or otherwise, no Muslim should be doing anything that is less than that which is compulsory. That which is compulsory, we should not be doing anything less than that. That is the minimum amount that we should be doing. What we are speaking about here is adding on a little bit to our lives which is over and beyond that. You know why? Because of the day of judgment when reckoning begins. And reckoning is no easy thing, my dear brothers. Reckoning on the day of judgment is no easy thing. Right? When we go for Hajj and we are returning, or we go on journey and we are returning, and we have to face customs officers, we just be worried by how much luggage I have. Suppose they ask me to go in the red line and I had to now go and open my bag and take out everything and declare everything. Right? And we become worried. Right? The day of resurrection is just like that. The day of resurrection is just like that. There's the green line and it had the red line. Right? It have the green line and it have the red line. The green line, Allah Azawajal flicks through the book and he says, alright, okay, go ahead. Right? And your red line is where the book is open page by page. Alright, let me start. Right? How did you spend your youth? Right? How did you spend your youth? In what pursuits did you spend your youth? How did you earn your wealth? How did you spend it? What you did with the knowledge that you were given? Right, and questions here, questions that are going to be asked. Our feet cannot move until we give answers to those. And day by day, they're going through the page, every single thing that we do. Right, that is the red line. So the day of judgment is no simple thing. No simple thing. Don't feel that we will just get away. Everybody is feeling that Allah is most merciful and we are going to get away. Allah is most merciful, so we are going to get away. Right? My dear brothers, really and truly, are we doing the things to get away? Are we seeking the forgiveness? Are we making repentance to Allah Azawajal? Or are we taking it for granted? We do something wrong and next day we do it wrong. And after a week, you know what happens? The wrong that we are doing becomes so common that we don't even notice it to be a wrong anymore. We don't even consider it to be wrong anymore. When we become so accustomed with doing a wrong deed, it becomes we take it for granted. We take it for granted and we start committing that act as though it is nothing. Nothing wrong with it. That is only something small. That is only a little wrong. Sometimes only a little wrong. When we consider a little wrong as a little wrong, then it becomes a major wrong. That ideology that is just a little wrong, it becomes a major sin. When we consider a minor sin to be minor, it becomes major. Right? When you do the definition of what is minor and major, that is one of the definitions. When you attribute a minor sin as something insignificant, it becomes major. That is why the companions of the Allah Ta'ala, they used to feel that they, when a sin for them wasn't like a fly sitting on their heads, you know, that they just shoo it away. It wasn't like, it was like a mountain that was resting on them. They were uneasy. They were uneasy when they did something wrong. And this is how we should be today. This is how we should be today. Many a times, you know, we're thinking about right and wrong and that kind of thing. You know, one of the first things, one of the most important thing that Maulana Zakaria mentions in this book is rights towards other people. Rights towards Allah and rights towards other people. That sometimes we take these things for granted. And he made special mention about the case of Pakistan being a Muslim country and the people, the non-Muslims living in Pakistan and their rights, because it's so very easy for a Muslim and being protected or not for him to take advantage of a non-Muslim. Right? To take advantage of a non-Muslim. Many a times brothers who are associated with Monroe Road Masjid, they feel that because we are associated with Monroe Road Masjid and it have a big community, an active community and all that kind of thing, we could tell Muslims anything and we pull up in the masjid so they can't come and do nothing. And we use that to deprive other people of their rights. To deprive other people of their rights. How do we answer for that on the day of judgment? Allah Zawajal would forgive plenty things. Rights towards Allah, he could forgive very easily. But when it comes to one another's rights, the rights that we failed our neighbor and our children and our parents and our family and those in our community that we were supposed to be doing towards them and we failed them. The abuse that we give to people, the bad drive that we give to people, right? All of those things, and we get away with it on the day of judgment. How do we account? Allah Zawajal don't forgive those things. Those things you have to sort out yourself. And everybody hungry and greedy for deeds on that day. Everybody hungry and greedy for deeds on that day. So who you think is going to come and say, okay, all right, I forgive you for that. I'm not forgiving for that. Pay. You have to pay. And if you cannot pay, then my sins will be transferred to you. If you do not have enough good deeds to give to me for the wrong that you have done, then my sins are going to be transferred to you. My dear brothers and sisters, and this is the life that we have to live. It is a test. We see what is going on in Palestine. Right? Who do we blame? We blame the Jews? We blame the Muslims? Who do we blame? And what is happening? Right? I could put forward arguments both sides, you know. Right? But at the end of the day, we as Muslims need to start looking at ourselves individually. We need to start looking at our families and start growing from there. Start growing from there. Right? We need to start looking at ourselves, our family. Because many a times you find parents telling you, boy, don't smoke. While smoking a cigarette, a father is telling his child, boy, don't smoke. Because I know. You understand? But why you don't stop if you know why you don't stop? We are using abusive language. We speak lies in front of our children and we are trying to tell them. Practically, we are doing it in front of them and verbally, we are telling them, oh, don't do that. Right? We need to start leading by example. That is what leadership is. Leadership is not standing up from the back and telling your children, do this and your family, do that. No. Leadership is holding them from in front and bringing them along. Holding them by the hand and bringing them along. So when they see that you are getting up to pray, right? When you pray with them as well at home and ensure that they pray their sunnah and all of that, when you do that, when you sit with the ta'aleem with them, when you sit and read Quran with them, if you cannot read the Quran, well, sit down and read an English translation, but spend that half an hour on sitting with them and you all read. Right? When they see that, then it becomes easier for them to do it. Not just go ahead and do it, go ahead and do it, go ahead and do it. My dear brothers and sisters, when we look at our lives and we contemplate on our lives, we would see the amount of wrongs that we are doing. Let us try to make amends of these things. As long as the ruh and the soul is in the body, as long as that is there, we have time to repent. We have time to make amends. We have the time. when the ruh reaches there and nobody knows when it is going to reach there. Brother Latif passed away this few days ago. Right? He was quite old, father-in-law of Brother Aftab, Brother Shafi from Warrenville, his brother, the brother of the late Imam Noor from Warrenville. He passed away. He was quite old, right? Probably in his late 60s, 70s. And Brother Amral or Imran, who was quite young, 25, 26, he also died. Right? So we realized death didn't really have a barrier to say that, okay, I'm taking old people. Right? Death doesn't have a barrier that I'm at this age you are going to die or at that age you are going to die. The time to make amends in our life is now. Now is the time to make amends in our life. We don't have to wait for any special moment, but start reflecting on our lives, where we are. What do we hope to achieve in the next month? What do we hope to achieve by the end of Ramadan? What we hope to achieve in this period of time? Make a little plan. I always advise people to write down a timetable, because when we take things for granted, when inna salata kana al mu'minina kitaba mawquta. Salah, fixed timing for it. Hajj, fixed timing. Fasting, fixed timing. Zakat, once a year. Everything has its time, its place. Everything that Islam is teaching us has a time for it to be performed. A time and a manner for it to be formed. So every other thing that we have to do in our lives is just going to happen. It's just going to happen when we feel to do it? No. You need to put it down in a time that this time of the day I'm going to try to read Quran. I'll leave to go to work at this time. I will sit with my family in this time, do talim, sit with them at this time and have a meal. Sit with this time to speak with them a little bit. Right? This is the time I would use to go and visit kith and kin and family and relatives and visit the sick. You need to put a time for everything that we want to accomplish. Otherwise, another year is going to go by and we will see another Muharram coming in. Right, another Ramadan is going to come by. Right, another Eid al-Adha is going to come. Another Eid al-Fitr is going to come again. And where's the improvement in our lives? How much have we achieved spiritually? Physically, it is easy to check with bank book and say, you know, last year I had $10,000 at the end of the year, and this year I had $20,000. So again, right, I had $20,000. So we see how much we gain, you know, financially. But in our spiritual life, how much have we gained? Are we now more practical Muslims? Do we really have a concern? How much time do we spend in dua and making dua to Allah Azawajal? For our own self, for our families, for those who are ill, for those who might be in debts, for the Muslims throughout the world, for mankind in general, to give them guidance and bring them on the straight path. How much time do we spend praying, right, and begging Allah Azawajal? Or is it as salah is finished, we are ready and we are out of the masjid? Right? We don't even have time to even read our Fatima Tasbih. Read our Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. We don't even have time for that. We get up and we're gone. We're busy. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to implement simple things in our lives. Simple little things in our lives we need to start implementing. And inshallah, by the barakah and the blessing of these things, we would start to see the other things that we need to be doing. And then a little more humanity might return to us. A little more humanity. We might become a little more humane, because the animalistic qualities in us are very, very apparent. The animalistic qualities are very, very apparent. The greed and the jealousy and all of that in us have become apparent in all of us. So we need to bring back, we need to become human beings once again. May Allah Azawajal forgive us for our sins. And may He guide us on the straight path and keep us on the straight path. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.